listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for July 31st, 2019. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, everybody. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And to get us started, we're going to read our abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can find out more about these principles of belief and metaphysical humanism in general at metaphysicalhumanism.org.
Nice job, Michael.
Thank you.
We're doing good.
I've done
for
good.
Anybody, for anybody listening in the live chat and those in the archives, Dr. Kelly is taking a little time off from the program. Michael and I are filling in. And
we call it the hiatus.
Yeah, a little hiatus from the show. Not the school, just the program. I'm having fun with you, Michael. It's a great summer for these programs. It's awesome.
So I can just be, very humble in my own right, you're very excellent at conversation and discussion. So it's really not hard at all for me. So. Thank you.
Not hard for me either. So, and that's not to talk Dr. Kelly out of a permanent position. Not at all. Well, tonight we're going to talk about ... I know it's a pet peeve of yours, but ... Michael, take the lead here.
The cosmic law of balance.
Yeah.
And the thing... Well, a lot of times we'll have discussions, we'll be getting into the deep, concepts of metaphysics, and what strikes me is that you need a balance between all these diametrically opposed forces and points and influences, and the real trick is finding the balance. It's always more of an art than a science, but it is really a key to so many things. And another great reason to have it as a topic is it's such a broad idea that has such a interesting level of directions that we can go in to discuss it.
Oh, it's at a macro, micro, any kind of way you want to look at it, but balance is absolutely critical. Right with you on that one.
Well, and I think to get us started, we're really kind of, well, I'm thinking initially about the metaphysical balance of the universe, the cosmic law of balance. It is a necessity. And a lot of times when one will think of balance, we are drawn to the concept of the yin and the yang. And I think it's a fascinating concept, and I think it has a lot of truth in observable reality for, especially for human beings, the way that we perceive the world around us. It kind of applies itself to that dualism, these contradicting two points. You have life and death, good and bad, fire and water, old and young, etc. And there is a balance, you know, that it is created between those two points, and you go into that philosophy, and it can go into different directions of, you know, moral relativism and, you know, what is good and evil, etc. But one thing that strikes me is, yeah, that's true, but it's not just two different points. It's an infinite number of points, an infinite number of influences, things that are all tugging at us at the same time. And, oh, go ahead.
No, I absolutely agree. It is a matter of perception, too. I think we talked just a little bit about that before the program, because perception is relative and what somebody thinks is balance. You know, Wendy is mentioning in the chat room that balance is a struggle for her, and there's so much information out there, which do you follow? And in other words, what's most important? So that's relevance, right? But it's also about perception. Mm-hmm. But if we talk about cosmic balance, it's really about energy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely.
Which is kind of what you're talking about, opposing forces. There has to be an energy that balances, there has to be a balance point of both sides. As you say, you know, good, bad, you know, and yin-yang and so on.
Right, well, taking it from more of that, you know, that kind of base concept into more of a, as kind of a thought experiment, just into this, into a deeper level, into the next level of thought with it, take it to its next logical conclusion. Like if, and you can apply, and there's a line of logic here. We'll start with looking at the natural world of existence, the observable universe, what we know, and the energy that we see. We can see the balance in the cosmos, the balance in our solar system, the balance of the Earth being tilted just so, being just such a distance from the sun, having that balanced orbit of essentially continuously falling around a giant fireball in space, the balance that is necessary for life to be created. There's a lesson in that for us.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the Earth, what they call it, Schumann resonance, I think, where the Earth vibrates at 7.83 hertz, and meaning that there's a vibrational electromagnetic frequency or pulse that binds the atmosphere and everything within that atmosphere to Earth. And so everything on the Earth ought to vibrate within those frequencies. Now that has to maintain a balance. Now my little disclaimer here is that in the last few years people have been saying that some of that frequency has been expanding and growing, and that there's certain measures of it. And metaphysicians say that that's relative to consciousness. Science would also say to solar activity, even right down to how much lightning we, you know, that occurs on the Earth. So, but it still has to vibrate within, you know, a general frequency in order to maintain its balance. It's fascinating. And of course, then as we say, out toward our galaxy, everything balancing around the sun. It is forever changing, but the, as we know time to be, the shifts or changes that occur happen over huge amounts of time. So it's got to gradually shift. I think at a more personal level that we're changing really rapidly. And that's where I think we get out of balance, or we feel like it's out of balance, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's when we're talking about the balance of, you know, energies, that energies of consciousness, and the balance between law and chaos. I was joking earlier about there are times in my life where I'm balanced more towards order and in law, so to speak. I have my life in its proper order, and things are orderly. Never really been too much so, but I've been able to strike a good balance, and then I go through periods where the balance just shifted more towards a bit of chaos. And it's And I try to bring it back into line of order, but...
I think that's because people try to control what's not controllable. And so when things get a little bump in the night, it feels like it's chaos when it's just the ebbs and tides of life changing. So I think that there's what we're able to manage is change, mm-hmm. and how we're always changing. And that could be the cells in your body going through anything from adolescence to menopause, you know, and as you grow and change, raise kids, you got to adapt to changes and always maintain some kind of balance. But I think that when we have things in order, I think order is more within ourselves and our perceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we're not trying to control it, in other words, confine how things change, because life will have its way with us anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and you're also meant. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and it's also the balance of too much order, too much law, so to speak, is rigid. It stifles the soul. Really, it stifles creativity and development and evolution.
And I think maybe that's part of what Wendy is referring to in the chat about, and you had mentioned it before the program, Michael, the balance between work, leisure, you know, and having a balance to your life. And I think that perhaps we get out of balance when we try to make our work life our personal life, and it carries on over to our personal life, where we don't see the boundaries or, you know, the limitations within these segments, but we still have to maintain some consistency about ourselves so that we feel in balance. So I think it's the application of ourselves in what we're doing in that immediate moment, and that's where being present comes in. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a balance too.
Mindfulness meditation can be very helpful in those moments too.
And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, and it's the ever-present question about, I can't meditate, I don't know what that is. And I say, I meditate putting on makeup. You know, because it's just a state of mind, like hypnosis. It's
absolutely
just a state of mind. Whatever you take in those moments of relaxing and allowing your thoughts to, you know, just be free rather than controlled. And as you say, you know, that confinement. Because I think that that's where Earth has to be able to shift its frequency. I mean, we've gone in really a blink of time to 7.5 billion people on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the frequency. And what we have to be careful of is how that balance comes, you know, we get out of order. We're talking food supplies, waste. You know, we're just talking countless elements to maintaining a balance for 7.5 billion people. And I think we can all agree that there is out of balance.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
I mean,
and we're trying to get back in balance, but we really don't know what that is.
Balance is sustainability. Balance is harmony.
Balance. And, but again, everybody has a different perception of what that is. If they have tons of money, they got harmony.
Yeah, they might think so, perhaps. But I mean, yeah. Of course you can have balance and harmony with tons of money. I really, really hope one day. But what I'm really, you know, alluding here is, what was I getting at? The overall point.
I know. Well, it's such a big topic, isn't it? Because
it
we
is.
Can the macro to the micro, and how I think what's really important for each of us in our daily lives to maintain a balance, and how do we do that, versus understand that we are this tiny little speck in the universe that doing its best to keep in balance while, you know, we go ahead and mindlessly, you know, carry on with their lives, not recognizing how things need to be in balance. So
true.
Do we do our part? And all these questions that come to our minds. And again, everybody has different beliefs to know what that is.
And
it's a big topic.
Absolutely. And I was trying to think of the wording of what I wanted to say. And really it is the balance of perception, the balance, balancing our perceptions with context. Because as I've been fond of saying, and I don't know who to attribute this to, but we are not affected by reality, but by our perceptions of it. And, you know, we were talking about change, and a lot of people fear change, but change is one of the only constants of existence. We think that I feel that I'm stationary right now, but I'm really not. I am on the Earth, which is traveling through the universe, never stationary. The sun itself, rotating in a galaxy, never stationary. The galaxy itself moving. Everything's changing at every moment, so why am I afraid of additional change? I have to balance my perceptions of the here and the now with the context of the wider metaphysical universe. Mm-hmm. It's tapping into, I'm trying to tap into that higher energy, into that higher consciousness, and sometimes successfully.
Well, I really do appreciate an indigenous view of balance, and the one great law encompasses four laws, and that's earth law, natural law, spiritual law, and universal law. And basically at earth law, I mean, as Dr. Kelly would say, we live on a planet where everything eats everything. You know, I mean, there's this ever-changing presence of the earth and how it has to keep transforming, and it needs food sources in order to live, procreate, and carry on. Then we have natural law of a basic cause and effect. And I know people think, in my view, some of the dumbest things are natural, but they're really conditioned, because that goes to belief systems. Natural is kind of like if you put your hand on a hot stove, then you're going to burn yourself. That's natural. Mm-hmm. See, so there's natural laws of what, you know, basically what happens in life and life in our existence. Spiritual law is understanding that there are many dimensions of life beyond this physical reality. Now, whether you believe in spirits, ETs, intergalactic, doesn't matter. There's all these layers of life and energies that are constantly working and changing. And then there's the universal law, where we get that balance within the universe, which is really expansive. But all within that, you know, and if you consider all of that, it's one great law at work. So if we can break it down to the parts, you know, it's various parts. I think in our minds, for our intellect, it helps us out to understand that all of those parts need to stay in balance. And that's where we can stay with conscience, expanding consciousness, and doing our best to live a better balanced life. Again, you know, as an individual, as a collective, and then, as you say, metaphysically in this bigger scheme of things, and trying to stay awake to that.
Mm. And a lot of times I like to think about these, you know, kind of big topics, because they're fun. They're, you know, fun to play around with, these hypotheticals of metaphysical universe. But there are practical applications, just like you've been saying, in how to live your lives better. And I don't want to go too much further without attributing Dr. Darlene in chat. She brought up a great point of balancing the male and female aspects of ourselves. And that is a great addition, and absolutely a great point. And I think to be healthy as an individual, as a man or woman, you have to balance those aspects of your own self. You know, and rightly so, a lot of our society, we're having a discussion about toxic masculinity. And that can be a hot button wording for a lot of people, but I'll break it down to what it means to me is unhealthy behaviors that, intentionally or not, tend to be taught to a lot of men in our culture, that kind of notion that the only emotion you can express is anger or, you know, something like that. You can't allow yourself to show the softer side of yourself or of life. You can't appreciate those things because it's not manly, right? And that is corrosive to the soul.
I agree, but it's I think generally speaking, again, an indigenous way of thinking is male the male energy is kind of that doer and the take on the tasks and maybe a bit of short-term thinking, if you will. And that's not a slag by any stretch.
Right.
Female thinking is more long-term. So it's whatever's going on now, you can kind of see the ramifications further. And when you balance those two, merge the two energies, it's what can you do now? What's the best course of action in this moment? But that still affects a long-term positive goal that's more proactive. And I think what we're not doing is merging those two aspects. But they don't just exist within the genders of male, female. It exists within ourselves. We become very reactionary, and not just a matter of toxic masculinity, but we become reactionary, which is very aggressive and more that male do now, get now kind of thing. And again, it's not a criticism, because the male energy is very necessary. It's creative, and it's it's like it manifests. So that's necessary.
Absolutely.
And in the seeds of life, it really is, literally.
Well, and exactly, that both exist in every individual, and that everything really is a spectrum in a lot of ways. Well,
you know, while we're on this topic, I'd like to throw this out there. I mean, theoretically, and please, it's a metaphysical discussion. It's all theory and conjecture. It's not necessarily a hardcore belief. It's just something that I have kind of accepted as a great possibility for a number of years, is that if we reincarnate and souls keep coming back to Earth, you know, whether it's in collectives every couple of thousand years and however that manages, and then a soul coming, like an incarnation every 100 years or so, the soul leaves, it has time to adjust in the cosmos, and then manifests itself back into a body. If we are expanding our population as much as it is, it's very difficult for souls to adjust. Having a lot of male, spiritual male memory and coming into a body really fast as female, you're not going to feel comfortable in that body. So spiritually, it's how we're feeling, and allowing ourselves to kind of maintain some sense of balance when you feel like your soul is out of order, if that makes any sense. So spirits coming back really quick, reincarnating, are not going to feel really comfortable right away into a foreign type of expression. Now, that's neither right or wrong. I'm just stating that's a great possibility. For myself, now, whether it's other dimensions or past lives, I have a great amount of memory being male. I can relate to being female in this life, but I have a lot of male energy. And I have way more memory of being male than female. And I think that comes across in my assertiveness, my clarity of thinking. I'm a doer, and it's a lot of male energy. But I have to balance that with insight, intuition, long-term thinking. Like, do something today. Yeah, like none of my 12 choices are very good, but what's the least offensive for progress, you know, that's down there? And I had to gradually teach myself that, you know, when I was young. And that's not to say I'm always great at it now, but looking at long-term agendas. So it's that balance within the self, but again, spiritual balance of, we're just rapidly coming back. And there's lots and lots of case studies, by the way, people, of, you know, reincarnation memory and lots of stuff on YouTube. Boy, little kids talking about when I used to live here or there. And it's only like 20 years ago, you know, or 30 years ago. Wow, that's a fast turnover. And so I'm just saying that balance spiritually, balance energetically, there's so much more that we have to open our minds to and possibilities, and allowing that balance within the self, like opening the mind in itself is a balance, you know, learning to balance and adapting to it. Sorry if I went off on a tangent there, but
oh no, tangents are welcome. Tangents generate content. We love content.
But that's where I think that there are so many really extraordinary people on the planet right now who have an insight into male, female, because they have a lot of memory. And I find it awesome myself. I really do.
A very compelling theory. That's an interesting idea. And, you know, to the comment earlier, I think that it's absolutely healthy to have, that male energy. And it's about balance. And I think in a lot of ways, too, it comes out in parenting, because single-parent households, either a mother or a father, either can show both paternal and maternal energy and love in certain situations.
Exactly.
And different people in our lives can do the same. Mentors, close friends, other family can be maternal and paternal roles and show that energy. So there is a great diversity and a great variety and possibility in the human, in life in general, but you can really see it in humanity.
Well, I love that discussion, and that maybe we can save that for another time. I know we're running out of time here, but I was a single mom for 20 years, and I consciously recognized that I was making up for that male, the loss of male energy in the home. So I was balancing that sensitivity, insightfulness, and, that gentleness and nurturing with the, oh my God, no, you're not doing that, over my dead body. So, it's trying to balance that male-female, and that's a really good point you brought up, Michael. So I hope,
Dr. Lurleen.
I was just going to say, let me just shift over here. Anybody who would like a card pulled, please put your name into the chat now. We'll start selecting some cards for you. But it's just a great discussion, and I hope that, it kind of gets everybody else thinking a little bit more. What is balance to you? And what could you do in your life that might achieve a little bit of a better balance in your perception, your emotions, all that kind of thing?
Oh, I think it's so great that you said that. What is balance for you? Because everybody is unique. Everybody has a different, let's say, center of gravity and a different balance to their life. And do what's healthy for you, as long as it can, pertains to do no harm, do right. But I like that you said that.
Well, it's balance for you. And I know that sometimes balance can't be sustained like we'd like it to. Very often, because there's a period of time where more attention needs to be given to this versus that. And then we feel frustrated, but then that will need more attention than this. And we go through those periods of time where our focus needs to shift a little bit and be okay with that. That's just got to be an okay thing. And, be water in a lake, so to speak, say, oh, well, this is going to be that kind of a week, so here's where my attention's got to go, and be okay with it. Yeah, just be okay.
So, all right, great point.
That's balance to me, to be honest. Being okay with it.
Yeah. That's the goal.
Wendy says when she's feeling out of balance, she hugs tight to the 9 principles of belief in a meditation. Thanks for that, Wendy.
Yeah.
It can get your thinking back in balance and to order things, and energetically we feel it. Yeah, read an affirmation or something positive, and right away your body feels that. Your cells feel that. Your emotions, and it starts to affect you physically. The 9 principles of belief, you can go through them even really quickly, snap of the fingers. Oh, yeah. And it's just a relief. Yeah, I got this. I got this. I know who I am. And so I'm really glad you brought that up, Wendy. It's a great, and as Dr. Edwards said, great strategy, Wendy. So that's awesome. So let's start picking some cards here, Michael. Have you got one for, I think Dr. Edward is up next, or up first.
Yeah, yes, he is, and absolutely, for Dr. Edward, I have number 42, trust and integrity.
Good card.
And I shall read from the good book. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
I like it. I like it. Good message in that one. Dr. Jeff, nice to see you here tonight again. I selected number 8, freedom, for you. So again, for those of you not familiar, these are the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and we do this every week. Just had to throw that in, Michael, for people who are new to the program or listening in the archives. So, Jeff, here you go. Freedom's a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants to, within the limits of do no harm and do right, what you said earlier, Michael. That's a really powerful card for you, Jeff. It's like, whew, man, you can do anything. I think you're rocking it right now. So good little affirmation there for you. I think, sorry, you wanted to say something, Michael?
I was going to say, I think we have Wendy next.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, pick Wendy. I was going to say the same thing. So there you go.
When you work together long enough.
Yeah, awesome.
I pulled number 33, and great card for balance, preference and principle.
Oh, I like that card.
And from our Inner Oracle Guidebook. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective in regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
I cannot tell you how many times I use that line of thinking. Probably many times in a day, to be honest. Is this a preference or is this principle?
Yeah,
it's a good way to check in. It's
I probably
a great
used
card.
It 33 times today myself.
Yeah, life is like that these days. Wendy just said, my life right now, laugh out loud. Darlene, I have in the wild card suit, that's 2 for me in the wild card suit right here tonight. So number 7, hope. I like that. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it's the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. That's that little disclaimer to that hope card. You know, hope, I think, in my view, is in your spirit. That's your spirit gives you hope. So that no matter how we can feel in life at times, man, your spirit wants to keep going. So you just tap into that spirit, and you can feel it. Hope lives in all of us. So, however that resonates with you tonight, Darlene, that's for you. So, Michael, hey, nice to see you here, Sam. See you signed into the chat. Glad to have you here. Michael, would you like to pick a card for Sam, please?
I'm happy to, and let's see. I pulled number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, and empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is one of the two most important relationship traits.
You know, that's so important. I honestly just had a conversation with somebody yesterday about communication, and it can start in something really small. In this case, in the relationship he has, is coming home from work, his wife always does the cooking, he does the dishes, and he had had a headache and didn't feel like eating but didn't have the heart to tell her. And I said, well, do you ever have a say in what you're going to have for supper? Well, don't think about it. I said, maybe you should communicate. Because really, did you feel like eating when you had a headache? Well, no. Did you tell her? No. You know, and so, well, how about giving somebody a strategy to say, hey, can I pick something up for supper on the way? Do we need any groceries? What do you feel like eating tonight? Maybe it's taco night. You know, just to throw it in and maybe some nights or two you do dishes together, but you got to talk about it, you know, before you do it. Otherwise, it's stressful. Communicating is—it's not that hard, unless you're worried about the response.
Mm-hmm.
So I just had to throw that in there, and not directed at you, Sam, in particular. It's just that it's a really timely card to come up because it struck a chord that I've been talking with people about this very thing so much lately.
It's about setting expectations, too. You know, proper and realistic expectations between the two of you, between any relationship, platonic or business or romantic.
Hey, and look, sometimes you can't have a conversation with people because they don't communicate. So you have to shrug it off. You can't make people communicate. You can ask a question, and if they don't even look at you giving an answer, you say, well, this isn't going well.
Mm-hmm.
and leave it alone, because you're not there to, I mean, you can plant seeds, but you can't control people and you can't change them. And I think that's, you know, a big part of it. But be true to yourself to know that you've done your part and doing your best and throw it out there. Sometimes you have to just say to somebody, hey, can we open a line of communication here? And if it's not received well, oh well. Nothing you can do about that.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm afraid in this day and age, especially with social media, people are communicating in ways that they wouldn't otherwise in person.
Well, yeah. It's this shield of anonymity, supposed anonymity. We're finding out if you cross one line too many, it can have definite real-life consequences.
And, you know, more people are short-circuiting. So just to wrap this up in keeping with our balance thing, I think a lot of people are out of balance. I know somebody went off on my daughter at the gas station the other day. It was really ugly, and my daughter just stayed really quiet. But this woman was vile. My grandson was scared and crying in the car. It was just ridiculous. And I've seen this, whether it's, you know, social media or in life as I go through it, and I'm saying, ooh. But I have a theory, and just bear with me for a minute. I'm working on this theory. And that is, according to your DNA and your brain waves, and that there's so much, if you think about it, with all the electromagnetic frequencies, radiation, you got to think of satellite beams, you got to think of all the cell phones, all these, you know, energy waves flying around everywhere. We're bound to get short-circuited by that. And I think where balance is so necessary, and I think it has to do a lot with food, you know. I'm a real believer in heavy metal cleanses, by the way, people, but that's just me. So just so that there isn't a lot of electrical stuff that can attach to you and your body gets all screwed up in your energy. But I believe in also just staying as as clear as you can so that you don't short circuit yourself. It's really easy when we get frustrated for a moment and we want to scream or call somebody names, which is what we don't really want to do. And so it's just to, I have a thing whenever I want to say something, I do that, oh, shut up, Icky. it pushes the pause button so I can stop and think about it before I say anything. But again, that's a long way from going from 0 to 10 in inflamed anger. And that's what people are doing. So I think it's a lot about people not being conscious and not maintaining a balance in their energy, and where everything's really out of whack, where they're susceptible, really more susceptible to all the stuff that is in our energy sphere, so to speak. And so it's just a pointer, you know, for everybody. Just keep an eye on that. So if you find yourself short-circuiting, just push the pause button and say, what can I do to stay in balance that I don't become like those people?
Like, absolutely.
Those poor people. And if you encounter those people, don't fight fire with fire, because you'll get nowhere. It just gets uglier. So
it does. Well, and as the old adage goes, don't catch the ball.
Exactly.
If you can help it.
Don't catch that ball. Now, first line of self-defense is run. You know, Dr. Edward just said, makes me wonder how all this affects those who commit violent crimes. I think some people are just short-circuiting and they wouldn't ordinarily commit a violent crime. There has been huge studies, whether it's through the Jet Propulsion Lab, or NASA, whatever, about how certain... he said violent. He said, oops. He spelled it violent crimes, and then he said, oops, I meant violent. We knew what you meant. Just throwing that in there. Certain energy impulses on certain areas, whether it's a city, a town, changes the behavior of the people in that area. So, and again, if you're drinking toxic water, that's going to affect your behavior. And right down to if you have low iron in your body, you're going to feel more emotional. So this is where the balance, right, mm-hmm. at the individual level to the collective level, and being able to, clean it up.
And there's so many things you could go in, because it's at times... the balance of communities and lives, and the fact that if you have those kind of violent crimes, and Dr. Edward, I read it as violent when I first read it too, but those violent crimes are committed because those people are out of balance, their lives are out of balance, and they're striking out, they at times feel desperate. And a very, very small fraction of a percent are truly malevolent spirits in this world. You know, most people don't mean to do harm.
I agree with you. I don't think the spirit is born that way. I think a lot of things contribute to causing mental and emotional disorder.
Yeah.
And some people short circuit. And you know, we could... This could be a whole program on its own, but suffice to say for the moment that I think for each of us who's listening now and in the archives, just take a moment and look at what you could do to maintain better balance in your body, to be healthier and feel a little bit better, because if you're sick, you can't think straight. Mm-hmm. And then how can you kind of look at your life and create a little bit better order, at least for your resilience to life, and it calms down, and rather than being in better control, you become a better manager. And because we got to roll with this stuff, you know, it is all changing, but unless we stay intact, stay balanced, stay strong, we're not going to be able to expand the consciousness to get things back in balance collectively at a global level. So
well, I think that was very well said, and that's a great point to kind of end our evening on. And you know, tonight we've really gone over a lot of the interesting aspects of such a broad topic that is balance, but it is a law of existence, and living a healthy life is about finding the right balance for you.
Exactly.
So I really appreciate the great points you've made, Dr. Hunter. As
and
always.
You.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind, but bringing spirit to the conversation. I always, always enjoy talking about anything with you.
Oh, thanks. Ditto, Michael. And I'm so glad for everybody in the chat room tonight and all the people listening. I know there's a lot of people listening who don't sign into the chat. That's all right. We're just glad you're here. Glad to share. And thanks for the conversation in the chat room. And we'll see you next week. And it's, hey, yeah. We're into August. It's a new moon tonight, everybody. Apparently it turns full new moon. It's called what they call a black moon at 11:11 my time, which is like way over 3 hours ahead of your time, Michael. But tonight it's an energy shift. So I think that retrograde stops. It starts to straighten out. So, hey, I'm just going to observe. So, and we'll see you all next week.
We'll see you next week. And as always, cat knocked the mouse out of my hand. Sorry about that. As always, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.